But anyway, joining us on the line is the founding copy chief of the relish.com and the first national female sports columnist at USA Today. We got Rachel Schuster. How's it going today, Rachel?
Okay, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Is our phone lines doing well right now? You can hear us clearly?
Yep, we're good. We're solid gold.
Absolutely. Perfect. Great to hear about. Well, we definitely appreciate you having you on the show with us after rescheduling after the last few weeks. It's been a very complicated situation. But we're here. And let's dive right into it. Now, we know the main thing going on right now is the 2016 Rio Olympics. And, you know, before we get into that, I kind of want to talk a little bit about your background. And you've had a lot of experience in sports media, around 37-plus years in sports media as an editor, you know, for USA Today. You were also a columnist.
Thanks for accentuating the number of years.
I apologize, but I want to show everyone that, you know, we're talking to somebody who's legit and not, you know, somebody who's not. And so we appreciate you for having you. So before we get into anything, how did it feel, you know, to be recognized as the first national female sports columnist for a major newspaper outlet in USA Today?
Well, frankly, I'm not sure that most people look at it this way, you know. At the time, USA Today was, you know, still making its mark on the territory, and now, years later, it's become so commonplace that we see women in prominent roles in sports, so I'm not sure that people think back all those many years. But at the time, it was very exciting. It was my goal. I had just come off the 1992 Olympics in Albertville, and I had been a general assignment sports reporter, and every year my goal was to become a columnist, and when I came back home, I got that chance, and it was very exciting. And for me in particular, my style of writing was at the time perhaps not what you might expect if there was a stereotype of how a woman would write sports.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very sarcastic, skeptical attitude about things, and that's the way I wrote. And so perhaps in some way that made it a little easier for some in the audience to accept me, although I got enough, you know, responses from people out there who didn't think women should be writing sports. But thinking back on it now, when we see everybody today who's doing it, it seems like a lifetime ago. But with these Olympics going on, it reminds me of that.
Wow. That is fantastic. And, you know, speaking, you know, on the Olympics, you've covered a vast majority of, you know, sporting events in your time of experience, you know, covering from Super Bowls to World Series, you know, Olympic play, Stanley Cup Finals, Wimbledon. You've also covered the Masters and some rodeo finals. So what was your most pleasant or joyful, you know, experience, you know, covering which sporting event?
Well, one of the first big ones that I did, and again, showing my age, was 1980 Wimbledon final, and I was a tennis player my whole life, so being at Wimbledon was a dream come true. But that was the final between McEnroe and Borg that went to 18-16 in the fourth set tiebreaker. And as the American reporter, I was in the foreign press, so I happened to be sitting next to the French reporter. And when McEnroe won the fourth set, a very long, drawn-out tenth set, as soon as he won the winning point, you could hear this guy next to me just stand up and yell, "Oui!" You know, good French for yes. So that always sticks in my mind. Covering my first Masters, walking up on the Monday of the week when none of the pins have been set out, there's nobody on the course, you walk up to the first tee, and you're elevated, and then looking down into the ground, into the grass, and then up a slope. That image of green I'd never seen before in my life, and it was contrasted with the sky blue, and I can still see that to this day. So there are certain things from certain events that, you know, I remember intensely, but those are two that stand out.
And now, switching from your love of reporting, let's talk about your actual love of a team. And when we were doing some research about you, it was obvious and clear that you're a huge New York Yankees fan. So can you tell us, like, are you from New York? Because I'm a huge New York
fan. Speak up. Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Because, yeah, I'm from New York.
Sitting next to a Yankees fan.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I love it. Thank you.
My son happens to be nearby here, and he's a huge Orioles fan. And I tried, when he was born, I got him a Yankee cap, but it didn't stick. So, My parents are from New York. I'm a native Washingtonian, but I always hated the Washington team. And I think my love of the Yankees came from my grandmother. My parents didn't know jack about sports, but my grandmother came from Russia, and part of the way that she learned English, because her son was a big Yankees fan in the Bronx, was to listen to the Yankee radio broadcast. And at the time here in Washington, it was a sleepy little town, and it seemed like almost every weekend, it wasn't every weekend, but it seemed that way to me, we would drive up to New York because there was nothing to do down here. And every time we did, when I came into their apartment, the Yankee game was on. So sort of by osmosis, it came to me. And I also do have, at a very early age, a memory of watching the Yankees play the Senators, the Nationals were called the Senators then, and Mickey Mantle coming to the plate, and my saying to the TV, Mickey hit me a home run, and he did, and that was that. So I was very fortunate later on to get to interview him a couple of times, and I've interviewed and covered several Yankee games. I was on the Monday Night Football field on Christmas night, the year that Billy Martin died in the car crash. And I had to go down to the field and talk to Al Michaels and Frank Gifford and get their memories of Billy Martin. So I've always been a Yankees fan. I hated George Steinbrenner with passion. That was one of the great delights of me being a columnist at that time, that I could bash him in print. And every time I did that, the next day our baseball columnist would come back and write a column praising him.
Wow. Fantastic. As you know, going on that, you know, you being a diehard, longtime Yankees fans, they've had a long traditional history of winning and winning big. So, you know, you've interviewed players such as you mentioned, you know, Mickey Mantle. What was your favorite interview you've done with a Yankee player, and tell me why exactly?
Well, it would have to be Mantle, and it was the phone conversation. And it was toward the end of his life, and by that point, he had realized what his playing days, being as reckless as he was, drinking and partying things, what it had done to him physically. And he, for many years after his career was over, he was not able to admit that he had done anything that cost himself maybe years on his life. His father had died very early. And so he felt that he was going to die early and he was going to live it up when he could. But at the time I spoke to him, he had gained an awareness. Some of his sons were having medical issues. And so hearing him talk about looking back on his career and regretting some things and trying to, you know, give some advice to youngsters out there was very heartfelt and, you know, very meaningful for me. And in fact, I had my son late in life, and the first night that I came back from maternity leave, the story broke that Mantle had liver disease. And I had to do an instant cover story, and I had to speak to a lot of Yankees that night and put together a story. And that was very difficult for a lot of reasons. But as a Yankee fan, as someone who adored Mantle, and then coming back after a break and being expected to come up with something instantly, and that was a night that I won't forget.